Acts 11, 25 and 26. And, pardon me, we did go through these verses yesterday, but we'll start again, because yesterday we were considering the Israel event aspect of those verses. They do fit into Israel's history in some respect. But today we're going to be looking at it in the light of the body of Christ and how it's significant for us in the body of Christ. Barnabas brings Saul to Antioch, and this was early, this was after he was, after Saul was saved, and before he was told he would be sent, and in fact he was sent, but the Holy Spirit hadn't actually sent him out yet to do the work, that specific part that I think it's let me think where that is. I can't recall right now. It'll come to me later, though, I guess, or else it's in the notes here, maybe. But the work is an important label that Scripture puts on some things, on one thing, actually. Let's read the verses. Acts 11, verse 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek for Saul, to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. That's the Antioch just north of Israel, just north of Jerusalem in Syria, where some of Saul's targets that he was after, trying to arrest, where they had scattered to. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. So something happened between Acts 8 and Acts 9:1 when Paul was after these people to arrest them. Something happened in Acts 9:6, which was before this event in Acts 11, that changed Saul into Paul. Well, that's just a difference in the translation from, you know, whether it's translated from the Greek or the Hebrew, but he was a different person, I should just say it, he was a saved person after that event. So he says, it came to pass a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people and the disciples. That's a word used of the disciples of Jesus Christ, the earthly disciples, the 12, the others that were saved in Acts 2 and Acts 4. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So you can see a change there too. A change in their label. They're labeled differently for some reason. It doesn't tell us exactly why, except that Paul, having been saved as an unforgivable Jew that couldn't be saved in Israel's program, Paul was saved, and he came and taught them a whole year. Well, good. Great. It just doesn't tell us what he taught, but it does say that they were changed. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. All right. Next body of Christ event. The first act of the body of Christ that's recorded is to send aid to the Church of God in Jerusalem. And we're going to look at the next few verses. I see 27 is up there. That's good. That's where we'll start. Acts 11, 27. And in let me get my tongue back in its place. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus. And Agabus is interesting. We'll find him at the end of Paul's career too, Paul's ministry, showing up again as he's heading for Jerusalem and going to be put under arrest and sent to Rome and testify before the Caesar there. But anyway, there stood up one of them, Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world. And it came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. That's when the great dearth or the famine was. Verse 29, and the disciples... pardon me. And the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt at Judea. You can tell, you know, Luke is just describing what was going on there in Acts, and he's kind of at a loss apparently at that time. He still calls them disciples, which is fine. They had been disciples. In his description of them, he says, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders. And that's the only purpose I can find listed in the Bible as to what the elders' duties are. They sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So, in Titus, elders and overseers, or bishops, same word, overseer and bishop, they're equated in verses 5 and 7. So, when Paul talks about it in Acts 20, verse 28, he's saying the Lord hath made you elders, the elders that he called down from Ephesus there in Acts 20, verse 17. The Lord hath made you elders over you let me get this. I don't want to give you false information here by mistake, of course, but let me just quote it. I'm going to post it in there. Here we go. This is where he called down the elders of the church. And from Miletus, Paul, talking about Paul, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. So when they had come down, he says to them, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. Now the body of Christ people are never called a flock, never called sheep, never called goats. We're members of Christ's body. That's what we're called. And so he said, take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. And that's that same word, bishop, which is equated with elders. Made you overseers. What's their purpose? To feed the flock of, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. God, a church of God, God's church, God's own blood. Jesus Christ was God on the cross. He was God, period. God the Son, part of the Godhead, or the Godhead, I should say. So, back to where we were, which also they did, talking about this famine that Agabus had prophesied, which also they did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So the elders in the church of Jerusalem, the Church of God in Jerusalem, the Jewish church, that was their duty too, to receive and dispense. That's probably those seven people that were chosen in Acts 5. So another Israel event occurs now. We're going back. We had been talking about the body of Christ events. Next, as we consecutively go through Acts, we find a Israel event. So this is why it can be confusing. Some people say, don't take your doctrine from Acts because it's a minefield. You just have to rightly divide it. You have to, and I don't mean that in the scriptural sense in 2 Timothy 2:15. I'm saying you have to assign to Israel what was said to Israel and what involved Israel, those Israel events. You have to give to the body of Christ what was the body of Christ. If you start calling our doctrine something that was only told or preached to Israel, you're going to cause confusion. It's just the way it is. You know, whether 2 Timothy 2:15 is talking about the gospel of salvation or not, the Lord was talking to Peter when he said, follow me and don't worry about my instructions to John or to whoever the disciple is that he loved. I'll tell him what goes to him and I'll tell you what goes to you. And that was in John 21, I think it's 20 verses 20 through 22. So, it's a principle throughout the scriptures that God divided the night from the day, the light from the dark, the sun from the moon, the earth from heaven. So we need to do the same thing when we're reading. We have to recognize what is to Israel and what is to the body of Christ. And here we see an Israel event occurring in Acts 12, starting in verse 17. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. Now, I don't know if this sounds familiar to you or not. Acts 12:17 was right after Peter had been sprung from the jail by the angel. And so, you know, at the beginning of Acts 12, you've got Herod killing James, the apostle, Apostle James, the one apparently that wrote the book of James before Acts 12. You've got Herod killing James with the sword, and seeing that the Jews liked it, he went after Peter and put him in jail, ready to kill him the next day, I guess. But in the night, the angel freed Peter, and he thought it was a dream at first, but when he came to his senses and realized it was really true, he was out of the jail. He went and knocked, and that's when Rhoda spoke in the meeting. You know, they say women aren't supposed to speak in the church meeting. Well, Rhoda spoke in the church meeting there. don't be afraid. So Peter came in, and beckoning them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. So there were two James apostles. The one had been killed. There was another James besides the apostles that was the half-brother of Jesus Christ. And he began to take, he was a believer, and he began to take some authority in the group, or be given it. It doesn't say, but he begins to have some authority in the 12 there. I shouldn't say in the 12, but in the church of God there in Jerusalem. Because at the same time, it was shifting, the authority was shifting from the apostles in Acts 2 and Acts 3 to the apostles and elders. And then later on, it's just the elders that are the authorities in Jerusalem. So he says, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And I would assume that James is, by the time of Acts 12, would be James, the half-brother of Jesus. That is also called, Paul himself calls James, the half-brother of Jesus, an apostle. An apostle. Not one of the 12 apostles. Not one of the body of Christ apostles, but an apostle. A sent-out one, like a missionary. Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Wonder where that is. Verse 18, now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. He had just been sprung out of jail overnight. No small stir among the soldiers. What was become of Peter? So he was incommunicado for a while. I personally think that he went and visited those that he had a writing ministry to, but we don't know that. So I'm not going to teach it as Bible. I complain when others do that, but that's just an opinion. And you're welcome. You know, my opinion is like everybody's got a nose, everybody's got an opinion, and that's about all it's worth. Another Israel event. The word of God grew and multiplied. Now, look at verse 24 here. But the word of God grew and multiplied. What grew and multiplied? Does it say the church of God multiplied? No. Does it say the believers multiplied? No. The word of God, the Bible, was being written at that time. Most of those Hebrew epistles were written around that time. Regardless of what, you know, some of the... You know, we do know that Hebrews, if Hebrews is talking about the same Timothy that was a co-worker with Paul... Then Hebrews was written after Acts 16 when Paul started taking Timothy with him in his ministry. But we don't know that that's the same Timothy either. So that's a vague reference, not a specific reference. All right, we're going to go to some. What follows this is some Body of Christ events. Acts 11:29. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did. We talked about this, but this is Paul's second visit to Jerusalem. Now, don't get confused between the visits that Paul took and his missionary. I mean, the visits would be to Jerusalem when he goes back to Jerusalem five times. The missionary journeys, there is not as many of them, and they're not necessarily, you know, as a result of going to Jerusalem. So they're different. Don't mix them up. Also, something else thrown into the mix. Don't confuse Paul's sendings with either his visits to Jerusalem or his journeys around Galatia and Macedonia and Achaia. Don't confuse his sendings with those journeys. They're different things. A sending is a direct command of God, and a journey is taking a trip and going and preaching. Some of what he preached was what, you know, fulfilled Christ's command to be preached at that time, and some of it could have well been beyond that without violating anything. He wasn't restricted. Ascending, he was sent to preach the gospel, and it doesn't say preach the gospel and nothing else. It doesn't say, don't tell the ship captain that the ship is going to, you know, be sunk. You know, when he was going into that shipwreck, the Lord gave him information about what was going to happen and that they needed to take food and all these things. So the Lord did allow Paul to talk. He went to the marketplace there in Athens. It's just that his sending is important, because what Paul was sent to preach and the ones that Paul was sent to preach to are reflected in his epistles at that time. So you can't take something that was told to a Jew about Jews, about their, not talking about Paul, but something that Peter had preached to Israel, and say that applies to me. You can't take something that Paul spoke to the Jews and the Greeks, or the former Jews and Greeks, and while they were under ordinances to make themselves more acceptable to the Jews, so that more Jews would become part of the remnant according to the election of grace, not the prophetic remnant. The prophetic remnant was dying away. They were not adding anymore. They were not evangelizing anymore after Acts 15, in that agreement there in Acts 15. And they just, through attrition, they gradually faded away. The last you hear of them is not good. It's in Titus 1:10. And it talks about false doctrine, and they're saying most of that comes from the circumcision. So that's the last you hear of the circumcision. They weren't adding to their group. As they got older, they died out. That was believing Israel. But there was a disbelieving Israel that was blinded. That was who got blinded and cast away. And the beginning of that you can see in Matthew 21:43, I believe, where the kingdom is taken from them and given to the little flock, in Luke 12:32. So you see this, we just went through this about Agabus and the prophecy, and how the new Body of Christ that had just sprung up out of those disciples there in Antioch after they heard Paul's teaching for a year, they sent help to those destitute Jews in the Church of God that had sold all to bring in the kingdom, and then Israel rejected the kingdom, and they were left destitute. And God provided for them, as he said, by the little flock, by the, not the little flock, by the body of Christ. And so we see that that was in Acts 11 there at the end of the chapter. Look at the end of Acts 12. Acts 12:25 we see, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. So they took the money from the believers there in Antioch to Jerusalem for the poor saints, and then they returned to Antioch when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them, in other words, took from Jerusalem to Antioch, John, whose surname is Mark. And that's to the one that wrote Mark, the book of Mark. And he's the one that went on one of Paul's first journey, I believe it was. In Acts 13 he went, and then it says he departed from them, apparently when he heard what Paul was teaching. I don't know if that's what it was, but he left the work, went not unto the work, it says. That, you know, remember the Holy Spirit sent them to the work? Well, he departed. But later on, you know, Barnabas goes after him, and I don't know if the word is discipled or mentored or coached, brought him back, and later on Paul says, bring Mark, he's useful to me. And I don't know, again, whether he's useful in the body of Christ or if he's useful as some of those others were. I can't think of their names right now. Stephanus, was he one? Colossians 4, and there's Romans. Let me get Colossians first and get some names for you so we're on the same wavelength here. There they are. Well, it does mention him here. So apparently he was still in, still a kingdom believer. He was called as one of the circumcision. But he assisted Paul in, like the rest of these people did, in menial things or reservations or... not reservations like we think of them in a luxury hotel, but reservations to get on the boat to go on his travels, or bringing the luggage along, or preparing the food, all these kind of things. Paul needed help, and remember, everyone deserted him. He would take help from where he could get it. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, that's apparently that John Mark, touching whom you received commandments, if he come to you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, I would call him Justice, just for distinction between him and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, but which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision. So there were circumcision workers that realized that Israel had been blinded, had fallen, had diminished all through Acts. Here we are in Colossians, and Paul is talking about these that are still, you know, he says, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God. Not the kingdom out of heaven coming to earth, not the kingdom of heaven, but the kingdom of God that's in heaven now, that we're part of too, translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. These only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. So there were, and then in Romans 16:7, there are some others. But the point is that just because they're listed as working with Paul doesn't mean that they were in the body of Christ. Some of them were in the circumcision still. And those that were, I don't see any reference to where they went out and preached the gospel of Christ by which Paul was saved. They did other things that helped. So let's think about what happens now, a momentous thing in Acts 13, beginning of Acts 13. Paul's, I would call it, some people call it Paul's first sending. I would call it his second and third sending. We know that he was separated unto the gospel of God at his the point of his salvation. And it says Acts 9:20, if we could look at that, says straightway he preached that Jesus is the Christ, preached in the synagogues to the Jews and Greeks that were in the synagogues. I mean, it was not a rare thing that there was a Greek, a Gentile blesser of Israel in the synagogue. So Paul went, and it says, straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. That's the gospel of God, the identity of Jesus, or the name of Jesus, who he is. So that was ascending, an early sending. It's not called ascending, though. He was separated unto that. So that's a little different. I don't know that we can label that as ascending. But if you look, let me just pull this up since I've got it here. Acts 26, verses 16 and 17. And I'll just post them. 16 and 17. But rise, stand upon thy feet. This is Paul recounting his Acts 9 experience. And, you know, Ananias told him to rise, stand upon thy feet. No, apparently not. Right after that, for I have appeared unto thee. So that's Christ saying to Paul, rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. He appeared, this is still Acts 9, on the road to Damascus. Christ saying, I appeared to you for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, the vision, or the actually seeing Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles. So there's the people and the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. So he was sent to the people is always Israel. Israel and the Gentiles that were with Israel. We see in Romans 11:11 who those Gentiles were. Let me just put that up. It says, I say then, have they stumbled? Did Israel stumble at the cross? Yes. Have they stumbled that they should fall? No, they didn't have to fall. God forbid. But rather through their fall, so they did fall. And we read about that in Acts 7. Through their fall is come salvation is come unto the Gentiles. Now don't misread it like some people. Don't read it that through their fall salvation is come unto all the Gentiles. It says it come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. That's the Gentiles that were in the synagogues that they could see, the ones that they knew about. And you can see that in Acts 13, verse 26 also, that it was those Jew blessers in the synagogue, it was to them, as well as to the Jews, that this salvation was sent. Practically word for word, that's Acts 13, 26. But we're not quite there yet. We're still in Acts 13, 1. Now there was that early sending though, and I believe that was ascending unto whom now I send thee. Paul didn't take him up on that right away. He might have. There might have been some Gentiles there in that synagogue that straightway he witnessed unto. He preached Christ in the synagogues. It says that he is the Son of God. So it doesn't say he preached salvation to them, does it? It says he preached to them. And it was to make Israel jealous and so to save some. But as we go into the verses here, 1 and 2 we'll read in Acts 13. Now there were in the church which was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, that's one. Simeon called Niger, that's two. Lucius of Cyrene, that's three. Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, that's four. and Saul. So five people. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul." So there's another separation, isn't it? They're called to be separate for some purpose. We're going to find out. But he says, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work which I have called them. Whereunto I have called them." Excuse me. Okay, that's ascending that's different. I mean, it's the same gospel. It's the same route they're going to take. But there is a difference, and we'll get to that in a minute, between that in verse 2 and what we see in verse 3. When they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Who's they? Well, that's these five people up in verse 1 that were the prophets and teachers. That was the sending from the prophets and teachers. And we'll see what happened to that, about that, in a few minutes. But in the meantime, there was another sending in those first four verses there. There's another sending in verse 4. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, that's different than being sent forth by the prophets and teachers in Antioch. They being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And that's all a body of Christ event. It was happening in the body of Christ. It had no bearing on Israel. Another body of Christ event, Paul's first missionary journey from Acts 13:4, where we just read that he was sent forth by the Holy Ghost, until Acts 14:28. And let's look at those three verses leading up to Acts 14:28, starting with Acts 14:26, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. So they had been sent by Antioch. They went on this journey, Paul and Barnabas went on this journey to various places. You can look in the text and see what cities they went to and what they preached, including being stoned, Paul being stoned to death and brought back to life. But not resurrected in the sense that Christ was resurrected, or that we will be changed. He wasn't changed. He was, I don't know if resuscitated is the right word, but the Bible just says he was stoned to death. I mean, that's the only stoning that Israel is allowed to do, is to stone them until dead. That's part of the law. So when they stoned him, they made sure he was dead and left, and when the disciples stood around him, he stood up. He raised up, brought back to life. And that's the 14 years earlier. I don't know if the Bible doesn't definitely identify it, but in 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about having knowledge of something, a truth, he calls it, that he can't talk about yet. He's not permitted to talk about it. He has to forbear, he says. And he learned something, and if you go to the beginning of that chapter, beginning of chapter 12, I think it is, he talks about, "I know a man, I don't know whether it was in the flesh or in the spirit," I forget the exact wording, but went into, you know, saw the Lord and got this revelation. But anyway, so that's what happened during this first missionary journey. Following the verses, we'll go back and read the read verse 26. "And thence sailed to Antioch, and from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled." Well, that's that verse 3. If you go back, look up in the text there at verse 3, when they had prayed and fasted, those five men, those five prophets and teachers, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. That was that sending that ended in Acts 14:26. But the sending of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost there in verse 4, 13:4, So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. That didn't end. That sending did not end, because he had a gospel to preach further between Acts 14 and Acts 20, that he continued to preach the gospel of Christ. But that first, it says here that that other sending from those five men, the prophets and teachers, that sending ended. They went back and they reported to those same people what had happened. Verse 27, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. What Gentiles? Well, all through there, it's those Gentiles that were in a position to provoke Israel to jealousy. They were right there in their synagogues blessing the God of Abraham. Those are the Gentiles, not every Gentile in the world. It doesn't say that the door of faith was open to everybody, alien Gentiles that hated the Sabbath, hated the God of Israel. So they got back to Jerusalem, or to Antioch, excuse me, in verse 28, and there they abode a long time with the disciples. So they kept on teaching, in other words. And we get to, let me just see where we are in the notes. Okay, a couple more Israel events. They got back to Jerusalem, and this is Paul's third time to Jerusalem, his third visit. Acts 9 was first for 2 weeks. He hung out with Peter. Didn't leave in a hurry. We saw that. He didn't get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony of me. That didn't happen in Acts 9. And we just saw it didn't happen in Acts 13 and 14 there. Or was it 11? It was 11 when he took the funds to the church of God in Jerusalem, the destitute Christians. So here we are in Acts 15, verse 1, and we'll read through much of this to see what goes on here. There's a lot of controversy, and usurping, maybe you could call it, or wresting of the scriptures that goes on probably without people realizing it. But let's just take what it says and believe that. Acts 15:1. Let me get a sip first. And certain men came down from Judea. That's down in elevation, not down on your map. It would be north on the map, but it's down from the hills that Jerusalem is built on, down to the lower country where Antioch is. Certain men came down from Judea, taught the brethren. I didn't read that right. Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. So do you see what's happening here? It's the same thing that's happening today, isn't it? People saying, well, they're just not aware that there's something different going on in the body of Christ. It's different than Israel. They think, well, this is a new branch of Israel. You got to be circumcised just like the rest of us, or you can't be saved. So, and remember, this is after Acts 10, when Peter went to Cornelius, and there was a change in the effect, what happened to a person, to a Gentile that blessed Israel. According to the covenant there, that in Genesis 12:3, if some Gentile blessed Israel or Israelites, he would receive a blessing, some kind of a physical blessing. That's all they knew about. There was no heavenly future for Israel. They were promised the land and to rule the world from the land and have everlasting life in the land. But when Peter went to Cornelius, it said that there was a salvation involved as a blessing for Cornelius. That's different. Something changed after Israel as a nation fell, and only Israelites were being addressed, and some were being called still into the kingdom gospel for a few chapters. You have it. That stopped in Acts 15, but in Acts 10 you had people still being called into Israel's, not to the at-hand kingdom that would have been, it says in Acts 3 even that Christ would come back if they all believed, but they didn't. But Christ would have come back then, and the 70th week of Daniel would have started again. But they didn't believe. So, losing my train of thought. Well, let's get back in. Oh, getting saved. Yeah, so after Cornelius, there was a change, because God was addressing individual Israelites, not the nation Israel anymore that had fallen. And those individuals could have individual redemption, individual salvation. Let's go on with Acts 15, where we are here. When therefore Paul and Barnabas, so these, you know, they're relating that some people came down and made this demand on them that they be circumcised. And when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Why Jerusalem? Because Paul bowed down to Jerusalem and to the 12? No, nothing to do with that. It's that that's where the heresy had come from. Certain men came down from Judea, taught the brethren. So they went back to the source of the problem to find out if they had actually been sent with that doctrine, that false doctrine, or whether these men came out and were on their own, freelancing and making accusations about, or not accusations, but demands on the body of Christ church there. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phinehas and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Conversion of the Gentiles. Well, you know from the context and all around that there were a lot of Gentiles that were not converted. Okay? Let's go on. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders. There you've got that reference to the leadership being the apostles and elders instead of just the apostles. There was shifting going on. And they declared all the things that God had done with them. Verse 5, but there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying, now this would be in that church. Let me read the whole verse. There rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Pardon me, I can't determine from that whether it was in the assembly at Antioch that they rose up. It looks like the last clause there, it's phrased in a way that it looks like it's they stood up in that meeting where Paul was talking to the church in Jerusalem. There rose up certain in that church in Jerusalem of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So it sounds like it's there in the meeting in Jerusalem that it's being said. Otherwise, he would say, to command you. It sounds to me, anyway, let's go on. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. Welcome to the room. Going through Acts, determining which are Israel's events and which are body of Christ events. And we're in Acts 15:6. the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. Verse 7, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up. So part of part of Israel, Israel's 12 apostles, he rose up and said unto the men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Well, what Gentiles was that? And when was that that Peter went to Gentiles and heard the gospel, preached the gospel, and they heard the word of the gospel and believed? When was that? Do you recall when that happened? We went through that a day or two ago. That was when Peter saw the vision with the sheet coming down and the unclean animals, and the Lord told him, what the Lord hath cleansed, don't call unclean. Peter, rise and eat. You know, all that went on. That was the Gentiles there at Cornelius' house, is the Gentiles he's talking about. Peter rose up and said unto the men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth. So God chose Peter to go and teach these Gentiles at Cornelius' house. They should hear the word of the gospel. They heard the gospel. What gospel? Well, they heard the gospel that Peter heard and knew and believed, the gospel of the kingdom coming, and that they should believe. Believe what? Believe that Jesus is the Messiah that they'd been waiting for. These are Jews. So they believed. And verse 8, and God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost. And that type of thing is what happened to Israel, that the Holy Ghost was shed upon them by Jesus Christ, ascended to heaven, up in heaven. Jesus Christ, it says in Acts 2:33, Jesus Christ poured out or shed on them the Holy Ghost. That's not anything to do with the body of Christ. That's an Israel event right there. As giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. So that's what the Holy Spirit had done, or Jesus had done back in Acts 2. Unto us, it says, Peter saying unto us, and there's no difference between us and them, them being Cornelius' group, purifying their hearts by faith. They believed that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. The gospel of God, the name of Jesus, who he is. They had to believe that. They hadn't believed it. They wanted to put him on a cross. So, go on to verse 10. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? He admits that they couldn't keep the law. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, does it say we are saved? You can see in the verse there, he's not saying that Israel is saved. He's saying we shall be saved. In other places it's said that they would be saved when Christ returns. Acts 3:19, 20, and 21 says that when Christ returns, that's when their sins are blotted out. 1 Peter 1, verses 5 and 13 and 11, and a couple other places in that chapter, it says that Israel gets their salvation at the end of the time, in the last times, it says, when the Lord returns. So, it's different from us. Paul is our apostle, Jesus Christ's only apostle of the Gentiles, Romans 11:13. And he said in Ephesians 2, verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you, it doesn't say you will be saved, or shall be saved, like it says about Israel. It says you are saved. That's one major difference. When we believe Paul's gospel, we are saved upon belief. At that moment, we're saved. Israel is not saved at the time they believe. They have to endure to the end to be saved. And Israel is the only ones that are told that. We're not told we have to endure to the end to be saved. We said, we just showed in Ephesians 2:5 that we are saved. Let me just read some of this text here. I don't know what you mean by Jews do not do Jesus. Could you hold your comments till the end? When I get done with this series of verses here, we'll stop the lesson and have time for... Oh, all right, let me just dot you if you're not going to cooperate. You can stay and listen. I hope you listen and benefit from this, from these scriptures. Verse 11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they, even as those people at Cornelius' house that believed. That's who he's been talking about since verse 7. By my mouth, they should hear the word of the gospel. Those Gentiles at Cornelius' house. So don't get that mixed up thinking that Israel is saying they'll be saved like we're saved. Us today in the body of Christ. That's not what he's talking about at all. Hold on. This is a mixture here. Some things are for... The point is that there is a meeting there. You've got Paul and Barnabas from the body of Christ. You've got the 12 apostles, or what's left of them, plus the elders that are leading the church of God, those Israelites, the Israel of God, in Jerusalem. And they're meeting together. So there's some elements that are body of Christ related, and some elements of this meeting that are related to Israel, have to do with Israel. Let's look in verse 12. We'll pick up at verse 12, Acts 15:12. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And that's one of the five signs that the Bible gives. You know, so, one type is signs of God to Israel. One way is signs to Israel. God gives the body of Christ signs to Israel. Well, Israel has fallen. Those body of Christ signs ceased when Israel fell, and there was no more Israel to show signs to. Now, God showed signs to individual Israelites during that period when, you know, before they had all died after the fall of Israel. That's what you see happening there in the closest proximity that's mentioned in the scripture between the body of Christ and Israel. When the body of Christ people and believers in the gospel of God that Paul preached, when they had to leave the synagogue and go next door, which was a building that was still attached to the synagogue. They were right next door, and you know, you could hear them, I'm sure, through the windows. You could hear what was going on. That's where you get most of the signs, because it was to provoke Israel to jealousy and save some. It's all during that dispensation of the gospel, before the dispensation of the grace of God, and after Paul was saved and the body of Christ had begun at Paul's salvation. So, let's see, miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Verse 13, and after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, so you've got, first of all, you've got Paul stating the problem, then you've got Peter stating about Cornelius and the Lord working with Gentiles in that case, then you've got Paul and Barnabas talking about the wonders that they've done, and now you've got James standing up. Verse 13, after they held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon, that's Peter, when he had told them, hath declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Now, he's not talking about visiting Ur of the Chaldees to take out Abram. And you know that happened, but that's not the subject of what he's talking about here. It seems parallel, seems to fit, you know, people can get confused about it, but what he's talking about is when Peter was sent to Cornelius. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Out of the Gentiles. People, you know, like we said, there was a change from the earlier Israel blessers before Israel fell. These had something to do with salvation. A salvation to the land. Israel's salvation. Not anything to do with the body of Christ. And to this agree the words of the prophet, verse 15, the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof and will set it up. Well, that hasn't happened yet. They did have a rebuilding, which was before this was written, but he's talking about a future rebuilding from this point. It had fallen down again. Well, I shouldn't say that. They did have temple meetings there at the time of Jesus' earthly ministry and Peter and Paul. So it says, and I will set it up. Verse 17, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles. Now that's not in Peter's time or Paul's time. That's in the future again. All the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. So James says, wherefore my sentence is that we trouble them not, which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them. And this is talking now, he's talking about up in Antioch, those and the Gentiles from Paul's first journey, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. In other words, if they want to be a Jew, they can be a Jew, but this is different. They're beginning to realize some of the differences there. Then pleased it... Now, I don't think that they had a full understanding yet of the difference, because later on, Paul... Well, let's get through this. We'll get to Paul in a bit here. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. So Paul and Barnabas were going to return to Antioch where they started out, but the Church of God in Jerusalem is going to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with them, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. Silas was a chief man among the Church of God at Jerusalem, the Israel of God. And yet he is one of the remnant according to the election of grace. He chose grace. The gospel that Paul was preaching, called the gospel of Christ at that time. And he is later, you know, he's a fellow worker throughout, you know, a lot of the time that Paul was preaching. A fellow worker with Paul, and later in, well, not much later, actually in 17 or 18, I guess Acts 18, in one of the letters to the Thessalonians, he's called an apostle in the body of Christ. So he was an important figure. It says that he started out as one of the chief men among the brethren in the church in Jerusalem. Switched. That was a one-way... Like in the Acts train station, there's a one-way walkway that they could go from Israel to the body of Christ, but they couldn't go from the body of Christ back to Israel. So, and that's all part of what we understand from the context and from Romans 11, verse 5. Back to Acts 15:23, and they wrote letters... by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch, and Syria, and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. There's an important clause there at the end of 15:24, to whom we gave no such commandment. So that didn't originate with the apostles and elders. That was a false teaching that those people had taken up to Antioch. Verse 25, it seemed good unto us, being assembled together, assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 27, we have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall tell you the same things by mouth. In other words, verify it. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication. So he calls them necessary, but then he says, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well. Fare you well. So apparently they realized that they were not, that was not a law either. It was advice. If you can do that, you're doing pretty good. You're doing well. One more Body of Christ event before we close here. Look at Paul's second missionary journey. He had gone out first to Galatia area there with the gospel. First gospel sermon that's recorded in the Bible from Paul in Acts 13, and then visiting several other cities there, Iconium, Lystra, Antioch of Pisidia, Derbe, and I think Perga. I think they were all in that same visit. But here he goes on a second visit, a second, not visit to Jerusalem, but a second missionary journey, so-called. I call it that for convenience to distinguish it from the other trips. But Acts 15:36, and some days after Paul said unto... Did I miss something? And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. So they had been sent to preach the work, and it turns out it matches what Paul said in Acts 19, that he was sent with a dispensation of the gospel, to dispense the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And he says, so let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. So not just hit them with evangelism, with the gospel, but go back and nurture them, bring them up in the Lord. What brings you up in the Lord? Well, that's in Acts 20, verse 32. Let me just pull that up. It's not in the verse list. 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. How are we built up? By the Bible. It's, you know, over and over through the scriptures, even in David's time, much written. Read Psalm 119. Psalm 119, talking about the law, his precepts, all these things, the words from God, and how we grow by them, how we're established by them. So they went back to nurture them and see how they do. Verse 37, and Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them who departed from them in Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. Now you've got another reference to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another, and so Barnabas and Mark so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul took Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. And we don't know much about what Barnabas and Mark did, but it doesn't say that they're, you know, any less godly or less in God's will than others that were preaching and going out spreading and telling the word. It's just that the word of God doesn't follow them. It follows the line of Paul and how he taught faithful, you know, taught Timothy, Silas. They taught faithful men who taught others also the things that Paul had taught. And that's how we get it today, from the word of these faithful men. The word of Paul, and, you know, telling Timothy how to lead other believers. And you've got his advice to Titus, and a specific instance there, Paul's advice to Philemon. But we're going to close here for today, and close the Bible study, not the meeting.